Mary was looking at the podcast. I guess it was this morning or yesterday morning, of how many people all around the world are listening to our programs and what it means. I have one friend up in Georgia that's been a good friend of mine ever since we were little boys together. And he called me this week. He's just found out he's got colon cancer and he's taking treatments, but he listens to our programs, and I just can't believe it. Germany, there's people in Germany, world, Japan, and I can't remember now where all they listen, but God is good, and I just thank God for the opportunity to preach God's word and just listen to how people respond to it. I got a fellow I'm praying for. I'm trying to reach people to serve the Lord and not only get saved, but to serve. And tonight I want to bring an unusual message if I can, please. Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to begin to read in verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with thee always, even at the end of the world. Amen. Father, we ask you tonight to bless us in thy word. And Lord, if there's somebody out there tonight is just doubting your word, for whatever reason might be, they just have doubts in their mind. They don't understand. Would you let the Holy Spirit clear their minds, defeat the devil in our lives, Lord, that we'll have no doubts that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Bless us tonight, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 17 one more time with me, please. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I've learned one thing over the years, and being in ministry and preaching God's word. You'll never get 100% of nobody. I don't care what you're doing. You can be playing golf, or you can be, going fishing. I laugh at it. It always tickles me that you invite people to church. What time are you going to start? What time are you going to be there? And so on. But you mentioned going fishing with them. They're up and ready and got their pole ready and waiting at the door when you get by. And it always amazed me that no matter what you plan, you'll never get 100% of everybody to agree on anything. You think about this. Here's the 11 disciples now went away into Galilee, in the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now he started off with 12, but now he's down to 11. And now even the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. But one thing's for sure here now. When one of these days when we see Jesus face to face, we will worship him. And we'll fall to his knees and worship him. The problem that I'm having today is it's too bad some Christians don't learn that lesson now and worship Jesus now. And as I go through the Bible, I love to study Doubting Thomas. Ever since I've been preaching and listening to preachers, the majority of preachers I've listened to preach on Thomas was they preached on Doubting Thomas or Backslidden Thomas. Well, there's a reason for that. And if you'll turn over to John with me just a minute. In John chapter 20, I want to show you what I'm talking about. John chapter 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the nails and the prints of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Then Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The reason Thomas doubted everything, I believe, because he was never around when everything was going good, when God was doing his miracles. He was not there. And what I'm saying is that I believe faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is given to us when we assemble at Jesus' feet and learn of him. In other words, don't miss. You know, I can't understand. Ever since I've been saved and been before I was called to preach, there was never a doubt when it comes to church service time where I'm going to be. I'm going to be in church. There's a reason for that. I didn't know everything. When I got saved, I only knew that Jesus loved me and he died on the cross and saved my soul. But I wanted to know more. I want to know more about him. I wanted to know what it meant to worship him and to serve him. And so I didn't want to miss anything. I know there was a couple of times back in my younger years that I'd get sick with these allergies so bad that I couldn't go. And I'd always wonder, what did I miss when I wasn't there? Did somebody get saved? Did some life get changed? Or what did the preacher preach on that I missed? And today, when I have to stay home and I can't go to church and I ain't able to hear the preaching of the Word of God and fellowship with other believers, all night long I'm worried, what did I miss? And I love it when people come like Wednesday night that don't usually come and I hear the good news. We had visitors, we had people here. I'm glad for that. But I like to be in here. Amen? And I don't understand people that say they love the Lord and they choose him as Savior, or Jesus chose them to save their soul, and they're not interested in growing and knowing more about the Lord. And when Jesus said that some doubted, I know why. Because some of them weren't there when the miracle. Can you imagine? Think about this for just a minute. If you was in a boat and you saw Jesus walking on the water, coming towards you, I think I would believe he was something different, amen. He's God. Only God can do such a thing as that. Peter tried it and he sunk. But I like what an old preacher said. He talked about full backslidden Peter. If he had done so and so, he'd have kept on walking. But yeah, but he walked on water. Nobody else ever done that but Jesus. Amen. And so what I'm trying to say is, what makes people doubt? Now, notice the last part of Matthew chapter 28, please, the last part of verse 17, but some doubted. Now, the word but here, that one word is the downfall of many a person. I would, but. All week long, I've called people to come to church Sunday. I've talked to them about being in service, about the special service we're going to have. You cannot believe the number of buts that I heard. I would, preacher, but. I would, preacher, but. I know, preacher, but. I could, preacher, but. I love you, preacher, and I love the Lord, but. All the negative buts in the world would not hold up at the judgment seat of Christ. And what I'm talking about, it ought not to be but with the Lord. It ought to be yes, Lord. I read Acts chapter 9, verse 3 through 6, and when old Paul got saved and God knocked him down on the ground and got him saved by God's grace, the first thing old Paul said when he got it, "What would you have me to do, Lord?" And he did it the rest of his life. He didn't say, "I would," but now, then notice the word "some." If there's one thing I've learned over the years, like I said, some will believe. Amen. I left the fellowship of believers. Just you talk to people about people call me all the time to pray for them, and they act like I don't know if God can do that or not. I know He can. You know why? I've studied the Word of God and I've seen my own eyes answered prayer. I've seen what God can do. And I think about this a lot, that there is some, though, that has faith, and I love to call those kind of people to pray for me when I'm sick, that believe God can do anything. But I also know that there's some doubt. Doubt is an ugly sin. Doubt is a damning sin of unbelief. In John 3:18 said, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's doubt. Mark 16, verse 14 says, "Afterwards he appeared unto the eleven as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." He that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he is a drunkard. Because he's a Catholic, because he's a Baptist, because he's a murderer, because he's a Methodist, because he's a blasphemer? No, only one thing, because he didn't believe. Unbelief, doubting, is a tree that produces the fruits of murder, drunkenness, gambling, lying, cheating, all the other fruits of sin. If we have faith in God, we will not doubt what God tells us in His Word. We might not understand all the doubt the Bible says, but Hebrews 6 and verse 18 says that God cannot lie. Now, we're not required to have strong faith to be saved. Faith brings the grace that saves. After we're saved by grace, strong faith makes us more efficient servants of God. Strong faith makes us more efficient soldiers in His army and fruit bearers in His vineyard. I think right now we're living in the most dangerous time of the United States of America. I really do. I don't know what's coming, but I don't think it's going to be good. I just can't see no good in nothing that nobody's going to try to do to bring our country back together again. You know what keeps me going and not worrying about it? I know God can do anything. Now, I really believe this. I believe we got one of the greatest presidents that's ever been in office. But one touch, one answer prayer in Biden's life, and God could turn him completely around. And he could be what we ought to be. I believe that. You know why? I believe God can do anything. And I go back, and I read the Bible, and I study the Bible. I come to church. I see God at work in people's lives. And I want you to know something now. When people get together like this morning and tonight, and we look around, well, there's just a few here. But you got to remember something. You don't know what's going on in people's lives. There was a man here this morning that's trying to turn his life completely around. And God is working in his life. And you don't know what's going on, but God does. And I honestly believe that God's going to get the victory. I do, in His life. And I believe it from my heart. Now here's what I'm saying is, those that was not here, and seeing the change in people's lives, I'm serious now. Brother Chastain thrills me. I mean, he really does. I can see his growth in the Lord since he got saved. And I'm not saying that just because you're here. It's the truth. And I watch you going. Now, whether you believe this or not, that strengthened my faith. Because I believe God can still do it. With anybody. Amen. If God can do it to me, He can do it to anybody. But I do know there's a lot of doubters. Amen. And people will say, well, God's working in my life. Well, I don't know if He is or not. I do. Amen. Those who have weak faith can strengthen their faith by exercising or using the faith that God has given you. If it's something I had to learn as a young Christian is, I don't know how much faith I got, but I got some. And everybody has given God has given everybody some faith. And they'll believe in something. And God has given every man faith. What are you going to do with it? I exercise my faith because as a young boy, I can remember on my mama's table or daddy's table, but there's a big old family Bible laying on the table. Now, it had everything in the world. It had marriage license. It had flowers. It had everything else in the world stuck in it and covered. But on the front of that Bible, and on the front of it, it says, Holy Bible. And every time I'd walk by that table, even as a little boy, and I'd see that Bible laying there, there was something about that book that was different from all other books. Why? Because I believed it was God's book. And I've exercised it ever since I got, can remember. And then when I got saved, I didn't doubt it. Whatever the Bible said, I believe it. I just believe it. One of the things I enjoyed as a young preacher, right after I got saved and God called me to preach, I went back to West Florida. My old granddaddy was 98 years old. And he was sitting by the fireplace. And both of us rocking in rocking chairs, talking to one another. And I said, Grandpa, I want to know something. I got saved. God has been so good to me. I want to know you're going to help me. Now, when the Grandpa was younger, he was mean. And I'm not talking about just a little mean. He was mean. I've seen him take Grandma's by the hair, my Grandma by the hair, and sling her out the house. She's a little Indian lady, under 5 feet. Grandpa was 6'4". And then later on, I seen a change in his life. But I didn't know what caused it. And I said there by the fireplace, I said, Grandpa, I want to know something. Are you going to heaven with me? He said, yes, sir. I said, tell me about it. And he told me where he accepted Christ as a Savior. There was a change. From the time he was so mean and so just a cruel man. My grandpa, I believe my grandpa could cut your throat and not even smile about it. That's just the kind of man he was. And I've seen fights that he got in and other people around his house and in their old family reunion. I hated those things because somebody was going to get hurt every time we met. And then to see the change in his life. And then after I sat down and talked with him, that gave me strength to see God still working. Amen. I don't doubt God can do anything. And by exercising weak faith, we can develop strong faith, absolute faith in the Word of God. If Jesus had doubters in His 11 disciples, think about this now, we have doubters today. Now I thank God for His mercy and His grace. Notice also, some doubted, Jesus still revealed Himself to them. In verse 17, I like that. Although you doubt, Jesus is never going to change. Verse 18 said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, this is a vast different Jesus than the lowly Jesus died on the cross. In the very first word Jesus spake to these assembled disciples, He claimed omnipotence. He claimed universal sovereignty. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Did you know you can't fight against Jesus and win? He has all power. Jesus, as creator of all things, had an original right to control all things and dispose of them at His will. In John 1 verse 3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him not anything made that was made Jesus, our mediator, has all power to redeem his people from all sin and purify unto himself a peculiar people and gather the church under one body of wicked, which is, he is the head, he's the foundation, he's sovereign. And as mediator, Jesus made it possible for believers to overcome all enemies, making us more than conquerors through him. Our mediator, Jesus, redeems, defends, saves, the purchased possession, the pearl of great price, the church. I love this. I don't doubt one minute that Jesus can't save any lost soul. Now, there was a time that people would come up to me and give me cards. All the time. They said, "Preacher, would you go visit this, and this is the one you won't get saved. This is the hardest." And they'd name what all he'd done. And that makes me want to go see him more. Because I mean it. I just believe with all my soul, God can do it. Amen. And I don't care who doubts, he can't. I've had people call me with disease in their body, all kind of diseases in their body. And you say, "Preacher, will you go pray for this one?" And I've seen God heal them. Now, where he used medicine, where he used the doctor, whatever he used, God still gets the credit. He, the one that raised them up. And I believe it. I believe God can do anything. And I will not doubt when somebody comes along, some little peon comes along and starts saying something against the Word of God. Here's what I believe. If you read the newspapers lately, if you've been listening to the news on TV, you can't help but see the thing that they're running our schools, they're running our little children and teaching our little children all these things against God's Word and against God. They're trying to do away with God, period. They're trying to make fun of God on every side. But I still believe he's on the throne. He can do whatever he wants to do, and I believe he wants to do good. Amen. Stand with me, please. Father, I thank you so much for removing doubt. Every day of my life, the old devil comes, sits on my shoulder and say, "Are you sure? Are you sure?" Well, I am. And I pray that everybody that will listen tonight will understand. If God said it, nothing can change it. It will happen. Bless us, we pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing some for us, please.
Hymn number 403. On the first verse we'll sing.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Church with you this week.